Let's go ahead and go to let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at a story that I imagine is very familiar to a lot of you. But I want to draw out a specific application this evening. So Luke chapter 10 and verse number 25. This is an event that happened in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe as he was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified for our sins. And the scripture there tells us, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he, Jesus, said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. And took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go, and do thou likewise.'" Let's pray briefly here. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to look into your word. Lord, would you guide my mind and my mouth as I seek to teach your word this evening? Help me to say only those things that I ought to say. Fill me with your spirit, and may all of us, Lord, this evening leave encouraged and challenged by the lessons that you have for us in this passage. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So at the beginning of this passage, we read that a certain lawyer stood up and he asked Jesus a question. Now, personally, I think this is a very good question. This man may not have been sincere in asking that question. It says he tempted him, but nevertheless, it's a good question, and quite frankly, he asked it to the right person. He said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, notice this man was a lawyer. He was a man that was supposed to be an expert in the law of Moses, how to interpret the law of Moses, how to apply the law of Moses. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he was absolutely brilliant with how he dealt with people. This man had a need. So what does he do? He turns the question back on him. "You're an expert in the law. You tell me what the law says." And he answering said, and he gives the greatest commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then in verse 28, the Lord says something very interesting. He says unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Now, what is the Lord doing here? He is not teaching that you can be saved by your good works. But what is he doing? He's using the law for the reason God gave the law. None of us measure up to the law of God. And this lawyer didn't measure up either. And so he's using the law for the purpose that God gave it, to teach this man his need. Notice what it says in verse 29. It says, he willing to justify himself. No doubt he was convicted here. No doubt he felt the need to somehow declare himself righteous. He willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This guy was a good lawyer. What do lawyers do? They take the law and they try to, I hope there's no lawyers here tonight. there are good lawyers. But there are those lawyers out there that take the law, they try to twist it to make it fit whatever situation they're facing, right? So that's what this guy is trying to do here, but the Lord would not let him get away with that. And he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan to demonstrate to this man God's intent behind the law that he quoted. So, in its original context, this parable was given to a lost man, but I do believe there is application for those of us who are saved. And so Jesus, he gave the parable. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This man fell among thieves. These thieves stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him, and they left him on the road, alongside of the road, half dead. Not a condition you would want to find yourself in. Probably none of us would volunteer to be in this man's shoes. And then in verse 31, we find the phrase that I would like to focus on this evening. It says, and by chance. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Now, after the Lord tells us that there was this man on the side of the road, half dead, he tells us about three other men. And these three men each had one thing in common. And that is, by chance, they found this guy. He says the first man was a priest. And just like the lawyer himself, this was a man, he was a religious leader. You would have expected him to understand how to live out the law of God. If anyone knew how to live out the law of God, it should be a priest. But what does this priest do? It specifically says he saw him, so it's not like he was walking down the road and he just missed him. He saw him, and what did he choose to do? He chose to pass by on the other side and not help this man. The second man, it says, and likewise. So just like the priest, by chance, this Levite came to the same place. He also specifically looked on him. He didn't miss him. He saw him. But he made the same choice to pass by on the other side. And you know, it's interesting. The Lord doesn't tell us why these men made that decision. Perhaps we could speculate. Maybe they were walking along. They had their own agenda for the day. They had to get to where they needed to go. And all of a sudden they see this guy laying there half dead. And maybe the first thing they thought was, uh-oh. Well, what if those same thieves are still nearby? I'm going to end up looking just like this guy. So they pass by. Or for the example, maybe the priest had started his trip in Jericho. He was headed in Jerusalem to Jerusalem to the temple to make a sacrifice. And he sees this guy and he decides, you know what? What I have to do in Jerusalem is far more important than stopping and helping this guy. So my business is too pressing. I'm not going to stop and help him. Or maybe they walked by and they saw this poor man and they looked at how bloody and beat he was and they said, you know what? He's too far gone. I don't want to get my hands dirty. He's as good as dead. Why stop? Could have been any number of those reasons. But whatever the reason, both the priest and the Levite specifically chose not to go out of their way to make a difference in this man's life. They chose to press on with whatever their agenda was. And you know what's interesting? A lesson I am learning is that many times the opportunities the Lord gives you to make a difference in someone's life is by chance. Now, it's good to plan ministry. It's important to do that. Right? If we don't make plans to go out and preach the gospel to people, if we don't make plans to do outreach or you know minister to different folks, we're lazy. Right? We don't want to do that. But many times, God gives you opportunities to make an eternal difference in someone's life, or even a practical difference, that wasn't on your agenda. The Lord tells us about the Samaritan. Now, again, this is brilliant that the Lord makes the hero of the story a Samaritan. Why? A Samaritan is someone that the lawyer probably would want to have classified as, this is not my neighbor. Right? What does the Bible tell us in John 4? The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But it's this Samaritan that demonstrates to us the heart of God. It says, as he journeyed, he came where he was. Again, this is not planned. The Samaritan man did not know he was going to find this other man up by the road. And when he saw him, he had something the other two men didn't. He had what? Compassion. Now, compassion is not just feeling sorry for someone. Compassion drives you to do something to meet their need, to make a difference in their life. And that can be true practically and spiritually. And then it says he went to him, and so at the expense of his own time, at the expense of his own resources, it says he bound up his wounds. So whatever he had to dress this guy's wounds, I don't know if he pulled his spare set of clothes out of his bag, or I don't know what he used, but he had something, and he used it to bind this man's wounds. He used his own oil and wine to treat these wounds. He set him on his own beast. If he had a donkey, he couldn't ride it anymore because this other man was, and brought him to an inn and took care of him, and he paid the innkeeper and said, if you happen to spend more, I'll pay it. So the Samaritan, again, at the expense of his own time, at the expense of his own agenda, at the expense of even his own resources, his own money, chose to stop and make a difference in this man's life. And it was inconvenient for him. And sometimes in life, there's things that happen to us, again, that we didn't plan them, and they're just inconvenient. And when that happens, we have a choice. You can respond to that inconvenience in the flesh, and get all bent out of shape and be upset at everyone and everything. Or you can respond in faith. Okay, Lord, I was not planning on this today, but I choose to look for the good that you're going to bring out of it. I think about something that happened in Burkina. Africa's interesting. Africa only has two seasons. Dry season and rainy season. And one day I was out with an African brother. We were trying to find somebody's house to visit them, and it was rainy season. And the roads over there, not all of them are paved. And what happens when you put rain and dirt together? You get mud, right? So we were navigating our way through this neighborhood, and we came to a place where we had to go one way or another, and I told my African brother, let's go this way, I think the car can handle it, and it turns out I was just wrong. That car got royally stuck. We were spinning our tires. We could not get that thing out of there. So that ruined our plans for that morning. But it just turned out that a man drove by, and over there they have something they call a taximoto. And basically that's a three-wheeled motorbike with a little truck bed on the back. And this man drove by in one of these taximotos, and his name is Mark. And Mark's older. For Africa, he would be an older man. He's in his 50s, I think. And he stopped by, and he tried to help us out. He had this little, it was almost like bale twine in the back of that thing, and he tried to pull us out. That didn't work. Eventually, a crowd of guys gathered, and they were able to lift up on the car, and we were able to back out. And after that was all said and done, we gave him a tip. That's what people just kind of expect when they help you out in that kind of situation over there. But we also gave him tracts and John Romans. And interesting thing about Mark, he can't read French real well, but he can read anything written in the major tribal language over there. But what we had was in French, so he took it home, and he had somebody in his house that could read French, read that tract for him. And the next Sunday, he came to church and made a profession of faith. And I was happy to hear this year, the missionary I know over there, gave me an update on him. He finally decided to get baptized. And not only did he get baptized, but one of his sons had started to come to church with him, and he got saved, and he got baptized with his dad. Now, when that happened, when we decided to take that road and we got stuck in the mud, we had a choice. We could have gotten all bent out of shape. We could have gotten all upset that we had to pay these guys a tip. And maybe just decided, you know, not to give those guys any tracts or John Romans because we were in the flesh. But thankfully, we did decide to reach out to them. And God took what for us was an inconvenience. He arranged our circumstances so that we met somebody that we wouldn't otherwise have met. And he began an eternal work in that family. And God can do that. God can take your inconveniences, which can be major or minor, and he can give you opportunities to minister to people that you otherwise wouldn't have. A few weeks ago, we were out in South Dakota, and we ran out of diapers. Now, there is a serious situation. So I decided to go to Walmart, and for some reason that morning, my GPS was not working. Google Maps will fail you. And so I obviously I wasn't familiar with the area. Was trying to find this Walmart, ended up making a wrong turn, had to look at the map, find my own route. So eventually I got there, I was in the store, getting the things we needed, and all of a sudden as I'm walking down this one part of the store, I see this family, and they look African. Africans, they have this look about them. I can usually tell if somebody is African, but it looked African. I walked by them, and I heard them talking to each other in French. So I thought to myself, okay, I better go back and talk to these people. So I walked up to them. I greeted them in French, and the wife kind of got this look on her face like, there's this white guy speaking French to me. But it wasn't a long conversation. We were in Walmart. I had things to do. They had things to do. But the interesting thing is, it turns out that family... they were from Cameroon. But not only were they from Cameroon, they were from the same city that I had been living in. Now, what are the chances of that? That I would be in Walmart at the same time that a family from Cameroon, but not only Cameroon, the same city that, you know, I'm familiar with. What is, you know, God does things like that. I can't arrange things like that. And it's interesting to stop and think about that situation. If my GPS had been working like it was supposed to, I would have gotten to Walmart sooner. Right? And maybe I wouldn't have met those folks. Wasn't a long conversation, but I was able to give them a gospel tract, tell them where a good church in the area was, and I don't know how God's going to use that. But it's evident in my heart that God arranged it. So your inconveniences, do you respond to them in the flesh or in faith? Do you look for what God might be trying to do in that situation? And when God gives you an opportunity to minister to someone, especially with the gospel, do you have compassion on that person even if you weren't planning on helping anybody today? Or do you pass by on the other side? Good questions. And like I said, these are lessons that I am learning. So pray for me. But God wants to work with us. God wants to take us. He wants to use us. He wants to give us opportunities to come along and work alongside of him and what he's doing in people's lives. And to do that, sometimes he has to arrange things that conflict with what we wanted to do. But let us not miss opportunities to make an eternal difference in someone's life just because it's inconvenient or we didn't plan on it. Amen? All right, let's pray.